The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I say this to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who treat you badly. To the man who slaps you on one cheek, present the other cheek too. To the man who takes your cloak from you, do not refuse your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and do not ask for your property back from the man who robs you. Treat others as you would like them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what thanks can you expect? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what thanks can you expect? For even sinners do that much. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what thanks can you expect? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Instead, love your enemies and do good, and lend without any hope of return. You will have a great reward, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be compassionate, as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge, and you will not be judged yourselves. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned yourselves. Grant pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and there will be gifts for you. A full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Because the amount you measure out is the amount you will be given back. The Gospel of the Lord. Bible Alive for Today reminds us of G.K. Chesterton's saying that the Christian ideal has not yet been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried. Because in a way, it's revolutionary teaching that we have from Jesus today. Because under the old covenant, loving one's neighbor meant loving everyone within the covenant family of Israel. But Jesus now widens the scope of charity in that new covenant that he brings, commanding that radical love that reaches out to everyone, even our enemies. But then bodily life continues. It's relatively easy to talk or to give lip service to ideals such as loving our enemies, not judging others, turning the other cheek, praying for those who mistreat you. But try doing these things when you have actually someone to forgive, or indeed have an enemy who wants to harm you. You discover then it's not easy, is it? So Bishop Robert Barron, in his Catholicism, says, in order to understand this radical teaching, we have to be clear what Jesus means by love. Greek has several words for love, and the word used here by Jesus in both Luke but also in Matthew's version of the Beatitudes too is agape, a word that in Greek is free from any erotic associations, and it conveys an idea of love that showed itself by helping its object rather than desiring to possess it and enjoy it. And it also goes on, he goes on. Love is not a sentiment or feeling, not merely tribal loyalty or family devotion. Agape love is actually willing the good of the other as other. Jesus doesn't ask his disciples to fall in love with their enemies. Always remember that. He didn't say, like your enemies. He said, love your enemies. But to like, we know you can't like everyone. But we can hold everybody in love. The followers of Jesus, therefore, are challenged by this determination about the enemy's welfare. To be stubbornly gracious is what he says, and to refuse to pay back violence with violence, because hatred can only be defeated by love, not by hatred. Injury can only be healed by forgiveness. Evil will only be controlled by goodness. That may not reflect conventional wisdom, but it's Jesus' wisdom, and actually we know it to be true. And of course, it's also David, in King David's response in that first reading to Saul's aggression. Saul had been very aggressive to David, tried to pin him to the wall 2 or 3 times with his spear. And there he is, fast asleep. David could just put straight the spear in, but doesn't. And that's why, because we're given that today, to because of the opening line, love your enemies. And so the Christian's love is to be modeled on and flows from the love of God. That's why life in Christ has got to be radically different to life in Adam. And that's very why you'll be singing at the end, "The second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came." And we always need that second Adam. And that second Adam is higher than grace. That's, you see, what it means. Because it's God himself, an essence all divine, in the Son Jesus. So the gospel acclamation was saying, "Open your heart, O Lord, to accept the words of your Son," which I say we do find difficult. In fact, some of the commentators saying probably the most difficult part of the gospel is today's gospel. So the pattern of arrogant, even ruthless self-assertion, which is characteristic of humanity, gives place to the gentle, undemanding spirit of him who came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus' exhortations here are to give, to suffer, to serve, simply encouragements to live as those who belong to Christ. And in a way, it's all summed up in verse 36, which is 2 or 3 lines from the end of today's gospel. "Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate." God not pressing his case against us. And that's reflected, of course, in the psalm, which God pardons the sinner, redeems the situation, bringing good out of the apparent hopelessness. When I was looking, reflecting on the psalm, I just watched the news one evening, and you saw the Western leaders going to Russia, to Moscow, to Putin. And there was a huge table, and Putin at one end, and as far away. Now, it's this thing, he says, as far as the East is from the West. And yet what's most on our hearts today is that threat from the East and the West, to the West. And I know many Polish people I've spoken to, very concerned, obviously, because their border with the Ukraine and Belarus and so very important, all that's going on. And you see, we hold all that in our prayers, but can you see there, even just that East and the West, but that's as the Lord removes our sins if we're faithful to him. But that's why we need that second Adam who to the fight and rescue came. And I couldn't help thinking, as we see Kiev, and often they're showing it with presumably the cathedral. I mean, I don't know place, but presumably what is the cathedral with all the domes and the crosses on? And you think of St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow, and there, and all that's going on. You see, what also came to me Well, you know it often does anyway. The great singing we had as we let the Kyrie, Lord have mercy, wash over us, because that's the heartfelt prayer that the mercy of God, who is compassion and love, that's what we're saying in the psalm, the Lord is compassion and love. Let that mercy, that compassion stretch out in the situation that we face. But also, the great Gloria in it shall sustain us. Glory to God in the highest. Because whatever happens, whether it's a storm and all the noise is off, whether it's everything, glory to God in the highest. Because he gave us that higher gift than grace. God himself, essence all divine, who comes to us and brings his gifts of grace to us. Because God is love and compassion. And love creates its own reality, its own force of goodness. And let's hope, time after time, it will help us refuse the offer of putting a spear through the sleeping victim.